Thank you all for being here today. My name is Dan Gibbons. I'm the president and CEO of Chicago. Oh, no, wait. I'm Lori Healy, currently with the Obama Foundation. Thank you. And I am incredibly proud to be here today to step in for Dan while he's unavailable this afternoon. But it's super exciting for me to be able to do this because of the topic of today's conversation and all the people who are in the room today. After the welcome, I would like to take just a minute to introduce and acknowledge our board members that are here today, our chair, the one, the only, Jackie Robinson Ivey. She'll be back to close us out. Omar Degastani from Stifel. Omar. Jose Sanchez, who's here today. Thank you, Jose, for being here. Now comes the favorite part, is getting to thank all of our sponsors who are here today. First of all, the Chicago Park District. Yay. Loyola University Chicago Empowering Sisterhood, or LUCES. Special Olympics Chicago. I saw Skinny earlier. It was just his birthday last week, so happy birthday, Skinny. Lime Chicago. Franzik PC, Jim Franzik's here today. Labor lawyer to everyone in this room, I'm sure. The Morton Arboretum. Yay. Stifel, thank you. Yay. SDI Presence. The Shedd Aquarium. All the museums in the park. Guidehouse. And our longtime, really great corporate citizen, Globetrotters Engineering. So thank you all for being here today. Before I get the part where I get to introduce my good friend Rosa, I just want to take a couple of minutes and acknowledge some folks in the room. Commissioner Rachel Arfa. Rachel is here. She is speaking next week on Thursday, September 26th. I hope you will all be here for that. I know that the Obama Foundation has four or five people coming to listen to her, and we so appreciate the partnership with you and the community in Chicago, and our campus is going to reflect that fantastic relationship. So we look forward to hearing Rachel next week. Another partner on our campus, Commissioner Chris Brown from Chicago Public Libraries. As I'm sure most of you in the room know, we are a presidential center, not a presidential library. But we do have a branch of the Chicago Public Library on our campus, and we're very excited for what that means for the community. Mary Ellen Karen, my good friend from After School Matters. Mary Ellen. The one, the only, Lester McKeever. Lester. I didn't see her. Is Karen Tamley here today? Oh, all right. Hey, Karen. Nice to see you. Nice to have you here. Nora Gaynor from the Art Institute of Chicago. Hey, Nora. Julie Gacy from NASCAR. Julie, are you here today? Great. And certainly last and nowhere not least is our good friend Ken Meyer, the former commissioner from BACP. Alumni of many, many, many administrations, just like our speaker today. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Rosa Ascarino. Rosa is a lifelong public servant with 30 years of government experience, retired once, came back, and served three Chicago mayors. As a general superintendent and CEO of the Chicago Park District, she manages one of the largest park systems in the country. And before, I forgot Kenya. Kenya walked in later. Kenya Merritt, our deputy governor. And also our good friend Alex Sims from APS and Associates. So I want to add those ladies to the list of people that need to be acknowledged. Before we welcome Rosa to the stage, however, we're going to watch a brief video. Our staff is going to play it that tells a little bit about the Park District and about the superintendent. Thank you. Thank you. with the crowd that we have in here today, totally sold out, waiting room. The next time that Rosa and the Park District come to make a City Club presentation, it was Jackie's idea. We should have it in your new headquarters on the west side, right?
Absolutely.
So get out of Maggiato's and get downtown. So with that, without further ado, Rosa Ascarino. Wow, what a crowd. Thank you. I have so many friends, so many organizations, so many people here to thank. But first, let me start by thanking City Club for hosting me today. And I'm here to discuss the importance of parks. And from that presentation, I hope you can appreciate all that we do. You know, I am here to talk about our mission. Our future mission, which is to build stronger community anchors that serve everybody, all of you, your families, and the many friends that you have. But before I do that, I'd like to acknowledge some very special people that are here today. And I want to thank everyone, certainly those that I'm going to acknowledge, but literally everyone in this room for your partnership, your friendship, and for your support in everything that we do. First, I'd like to start by thanking some our supporters, members of the City Council, as well as any state and federal officials who support what we do every day, fiscally and with other in-kind support. I'd also like to thank Mayor Brandon Johnson, his administration, and my great colleagues at the City of Chicago, the many commissioners and friends, really, who we work with, libraries, people with disabilities, as well as our public schools. I'd also like to take an opportunity to thank our many partners, our sponsors, our volunteers, our park advisory councils, and foundation members, all who generously give up your time and who really come out and support parks in every single community and neighborhood. I'd like to acknowledge the Chicago Park District Board of Commissioners, if you can stand or wave. And certainly, I want to also give a huge thanks to Vice President Tico Valle, who is leading our board at this time. So thank you so much. And to my staff, the leadership team who is here, I'd like to acknowledge you. Please stand. Everyone who's here from the Park District, please, I want to just say you are really the doers of everything that we do at the Park District. Thank you for everything that you do. This is really not my work. It's all of our collective work. And I also finally just want to acknowledge my beautiful family who's here somewhere in the back. I love you so very much. And like my team, thank you for putting up with me. So in this room really represents the absolute best of our city. And I know because I've worked with many of you. But before I get started, we are the Recreation Department after all, or agency. And so I'd like to take a brief survey, and I need your participation. So I'm going to ask some questions, and if they apply to you, you are to stand. If you cannot stand, you may raise your hand, okay? So how many of you here have visited any of our 600 parks, and are you a member or any member of your family attend any of our programs, maybe at a softball league or a park program? Please stand. Wow, you guys are really taking advantage of our low-cost programs. I thought there would be only a few of you, but thank you. Okay, and then how many? Stay standing. This is no time to sit. I mean, come on. Okay, and how many have biked to the lakefront, visited our harbors, or golfed on our golf courses? Great. Now you can raise your hand. Okay, great. All right. And then how many of you have either gone bird watching, sat under a tree, or simply gone for a walk in a park? Okay. Now we're going to your feet. So now you're to stand in one. No, I'm just kidding. The final question, how many of you have either worked for the Park District as maybe a day camp leader or a lifeguard? Please wave. Wonderful. Give yourself a huge round of applause because you guys represent
our community, and you truly stand for what we do at Parks. Yes, you may sit down now. Sorry, I was going to ask us to maybe do some push-ups, but my team said it would not be an equitable approach to recreation. But just like this room, our parks really bring people from all walks of life together. You know, parks have always served many functions, including bringing our diverse communities and the needs of so many people together. You know, the Herbs and Orto motto, which translates into city in a garden, perfectly reflects the goal of our city's founders, and it still today captures what makes Chicago so beautiful and unique, and it's what we continue to strive for. So we will continue in that commitment to keep parks public and accessible, and parks are for everyone. You know, I want to just share a story. Last week, we celebrated the Jackson Park Golf Course's 125th anniversary. And members, yes, that deserves an applause. And the members of the Jackson Park Golf Association and the Jackson Park Advisory Council and many of the committee members came out to support not just golf, but what was beautiful about that event, it was all the community coming together to support young people in the community in the sport and love of golf. And it just reminds me how, whether it's a volunteer or a community member, it is you who are preserving our parks, and it is the reason why our city looks so beautiful. And I have to tell you that being the steward of this amazing system is a huge privilege for me. And I'd like to start by just telling you a little bit about who we are and what we do who we are at the core. Well, I don't think I have to convince you all. We are truly a world-class park system. And I believe strongly in that. Our parks are one of the most unique districts in the country. We are one of the largest land managers in the city, and we are a service-driven organization supporting residents and visitors everywhere. And did you know that 98% of Chicago residents live within a 10-minute walk of a park? Well, that's true, and that goes to helping supporting our health. And it is no reason why everyone in this room and your family should not be taking a 10-minute walk to that park and back. It's good for your health. Our parks are strengthening communities. We are strong community anchors, and we are represented in every neighborhood. And we are nearly 3,000 staff strong, and in the summer, we double up in size to 6,000 employees. Our parks are the leading agency in recreation and programs. 400,000 individuals are registered for programs at 250 of our facilities annually. We have one of the largest learn-to-swim programs in the country, and we are leaders in special recreation and adaptive sports program across the country. I hear from so many families about how they wish, and I hear it from outsiders all the time, about how they wish their cities and towns had the type of special rec and adaptive program that we have here in Chicago. And importantly for us, we also support and host and are the host of Special Olympics games at Soldier Field. And Soldier Field is the home of Special Olympics, and it's a tradition that we will carry on. Our parks are leading in sustainability efforts and environmental justice work. We are strengthening our tree canopy, our natural areas, and creating more energy efficiency through all of our works. And we are combating climate change. Our parks are one of the leading economic drivers, contributing nearly $1.5 billion to Chicago's economy. All of you here represent only a small portion of the 1.4 million visitors and participants who are actually participating in events and programs at our parks. And you also represent a small portion of 40 million visitors to the many park destinations. So whether you are experiencing events are at Grant Park, like Lollapalooza, Sueños, or places like our theater on the lake, or a lakefront for that matter, or whether you're visiting Garfield Park Conservatory or Jackson Park's Garden of Phoenix or any of our 11 museums that sit on park grounds. All of these activations and activities contribute to Chicago's economy and the prosperity of our city. Our parks are diverse, equitable, and inclusive, and we are so proud of our agency's diversity. And our workforce closely represents that of the cities. And as a Latina, it is extremely important for me that all voices are represented at the leadership table and that these diverse thoughts are also part of our decision-making process. As a diverse city, we must make sure that everything we do represents the needs of our communities, and that we should never forget. And it is, but it is not only about the workforce and leadership, but it's also our approach to the way that we are looking at programming and capital investment with that equity lens that actually is a lens that we're applying to everything we do at the district. And we've been a little bit busy over the past 3 years since I've arrived. First of all, we believe in putting our people first. And that means you, our park users, as well as our employees. Following the worldwide epidemic, which I'm sure all of us are just so glad that that is behind us, and let's knock on wood, reopening parks, staffing up, and getting our operations back in order has been monumental. And we have worked really hard to shift our agency culture. And we are working even more closely with community. We reformed our community engagement practices to improve park experiences and programs and the way that we use parks. And yes, we are listening more today and talking less, except today you guys are going to get an earful from me, so I apologize. And we are investing in our staff by improving our employee wages and benefits, including better pay for our lifeguards. So needed. And we are supporting staff by enhancing training and creating a stronger and more accountable workforce. And yes, we must also build and improve the resources so that we can improve the service delivery demands that there was a line to see me. Most of those were requests and demands. So yes, we have to do that. When we talk about service delivery, or what I would call customer service, we must uplift programs that are working and acknowledge our dedicated staff who actually know this work better than me. Last week, I'm going to share this story because I think it's so great. And by the way, there's a story every day when I'm out visiting parks, and I do that a lot. And last week, though, I was invited to the retirement event of Coach Bill Hegland. Bill started at Hamlin Park 51 years ago, and he never left. And he dedicated his career to a boxing program and building it, and coaching hundreds of kids from the neighborhood that was not the neighborhood that it is today. And Bill was more than just a coach. He was a mentor. He was a friend to the many kids that needed a friend during all that time. And at his retirement, these kids returned as adult coaches, mentors, professionals themselves, and even an Olympian. You know, as I was thanking Bill, they came actually thanking Bill for how he actually was so instrumental in changing their lives. And when I tell you grown men were tearing up and crying, I am not even exaggerating on that. But I did ask Bill what made him stay all these years. And he said, you know, I loved boxing, and working with these kids gave my life purpose. And this is just one of the many examples of the positive impact that our employees are making in kids and families across the entire district. And let me just say, as I speak about programs, I just have to tell you, I'm going to give my team a huge round of applause because we had an incredible summer. So good job, team. And let me just tell you that working with our youth is not only inspiring, But our youth was the backbone of our summer operations. So do not dismiss our young people. They are the promise of our future. The Chicago Park District is the single largest employer of young people in Chicago, and we are working to build an even stronger pipeline. In addition to hiring 3,000 summer seasonal workers, we also supported nearly 1,000 recreation leaders in training. These are kids ages 13 to 15, and we paid them a $200 stipend. You want to see your kid, 13 to 15, do some work? Promise him a little money, or her. These are kids that age out of day camp but are too young for summer employment. And through these transformative years, it is important to keep these kids engage in positive activities because they are actually growing into adults. And when they turn 16, they will be prepared to join our workforce, and they make the best workers because they've been with us. And we are very proud of the stipend-based lifeguard explorer training program that we launched last winter in preparation for the summer. We spent several months working on this. Nearly 300 young people from the city's south and west side got trained, and 51 of them became lifeguards at our beaches and pools. And to put this into perspective for you, adding 50 lifeguards allows us to open 10 pools. And remember, we have 77 of them and 22 beaches. And I'd like to share another great story about the Menefee brothers. They signed up for this newly created Lifeguard Explorer program where they would earn a stipend to learn to swim well enough to be successful in the rigorous test that is required to become a summer lifeguard. But these young people were their ultimate goal, they worked hard and they wanted to improve their skills for sure. But at the very core of this is that they were really interested in getting money to buy their PS5 game console. And at the end, they not only learned all the skills and passed certification, they actually worked for us as lifeguards this summer. And this is the transformative initiatives that we must put in place to get our young people trained in the workforce and positive activities. And this is what really got all of our beaches and pools open this summer. It's initiatives like this, but it was really these young people. And I just want to say that we must applaud our young people. We don't often enough hear the amazing work that they're doing and how hard and creative and thoughtful they are. And by the way, if you're in a room with young people, just be prepared because we know nothing. And they have the answers. And guess what? In many ways, they absolutely do, and I love working with them. Yes, a huge shout out. I know my son will be embarrassed, so I won't point to him. But many studies point to park activations creating safer spaces that improve our mental health and our physical health. And parks are healthy and safe environments for all to enjoy, so activation of spaces is really important. This is why we do this, and we do this all year long at big parks and at small parks, in community parks and in downtown parks, because they bring people together. You know, after the 18 months of social distancing, which I hate to keep bringing up, but it's true, we're coming out of that and we're doing good as a city and we're doing great as a park district. But after months of isolation, the district welcomed back tens of thousands of concert goers to one of the largest music festivals in the country. And we have since signed another 10-year contract with Lollapalooza and another 5-year contract with Sueños. And yes, next year, NASCAR will be celebrating its third year in Chicago. And this is good for our economy, and it's good for our communities. This year, very importantly, just as important, if not more than these events, are that we celebrated our 12 years of Night Out in the Parks, bringing hundreds of events to community parks, filling our parks with families. And these are families that maybe can't go downtown for a theater or maybe have never been to the symphony. And so having these activations in park are critical and really support healthy environments and really build vibrancy in our communities. And I just want to thank the hundreds of arts and cultural organizations that we partner with all year long to do this throughout the district. You know, and we are also about laying strong foundation for community development. We have nearly 100 projects, large and small, operating year-round throughout the district. And we are building spaces with purpose and providing a strong foundation for these communities in every part of the city. The district will make a half a billion investment in capital projects citywide over the next 5 years. And half of those funds, or $250 million, is to be invested in priority areas of focus for us. And in the last 3 years, we've broken ground on or cut ribbons on everything from new field houses, baseball fields, walking trails, and playgrounds. And we are also addressing environmental justice through our green projects, which we are extremely proud of. And one of my proudest moments and one of our greatest investment is when we relocated our headquarters that had been downtown for many years into an award-winning building in Brighton Park. It is a beautiful 17-acre park campus with a fully functional field house, and it replaced a vacant, underutilized, and environmentally dirty site. So yes, I welcome City Club to parks, whether it's me speaking or somebody else, because our parks are your parks. So I want you to come out and check it out. But another great example of our environmental justice is we opened the Ford Calumet Environmental Center at Big Marsh on the city's southeast side. And also just talking about big projects and really acknowledging communities is we cut the ribbon on the AIDS Garden art installation on the lakefront near Belmont Harbor with many friends and support from everyone. But we are also as equally, if not more, excited about all the projects that are coming up. And I will tell you, there's a lot, and I'm not going to name them all because there's really a lot. But these are some of the ones that we've recently broken ground on. So we broke ground on the future Jackie Robinson Park Fieldhouse on the southeast side. Much needed. Let me just tell you, that community is so vibrant. Yes, thank you. And we invested new electrical infrastructure covering all areas of the city to ensure reliability. So we want the lights on. We want them working at night because we want those parks activated because we know it makes it safer. And several projects will be possible with Chicago Recovery Plan funds. And the funds will cover a variety of projects, installing free public Wi-Fi at 60 parks that are lacking connectivity. Imagine those kids with that added connectivity being able to do their homework. That deserves an applause. And replacing lead lines and opening new spray features to cool our communities and making sure that they have good drinking water. And we're also converting vacant lots into pocket parks and creating more green spaces in communities. And we welcome more of those vacant lots and working with the city to do that. And then there's pickleball. Yes. We actually set a court up here, but we thought it would be a little disruptive. But yes, these funds will also help us open 200 pickleball courts citywide by 2025 as part of our Pickleball Mania initiative. And anyone who wants to challenge Foster Park, $1 million investment in a couple of weeks, I'll see you there. The Southside Pickleballers are ready to welcome you. So bring it on. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the battle between pickleball and tennis players is fierce. And let me just say, and the divide, I don't know if it's as divided as the, you know, Cubs fan and Sox fans. In either case, I want you to know that at the parks, we're actually investing in both pickleball and tennis. So please, I don't need another line of complaints. Know that we're doing it all because we're not getting in the middle of that. But these projects only scratch the surface of the capital work that we're doing. And again, we're going citywide. And I know that most projects, I want you guys to know that none of these projects are done with park district funds alone. All of these are combined funding between state and local and foundations and donors, because that's how our work gets done. Yes, and so you, our financial partners, really make our budget work. There are many sponsors, donors, supporters, and again, too many to thank, and I know some of you are here, and so just know that if I'm not naming you, it's because there's just too many. But you are helping us build community and parks across the city. And I want to thank all of you who are giving to the parks. And I will tell you, there's a very special fund. It's called the Park District Financial Assistance Fund. This fund supports families in need. This fund ensures that our programs that are already very low cost are available to everyone, and that no family, regardless of their inability to pay maybe the $100, that we will cover their cost for programming. And we are 90% to our goal this year. So the information is in the packets at your table. Please help us reach our goal, and we would really appreciate that. But grants and sponsors are building a lot more than just that's our fund. But the money and the funds and the support that you give us, you are building baseball fields, basketball fields, ADA accessible facilities. You are helping to build the infrastructure of our parks with your heartfelt donations and the giving that you give to us. Our supporters are also supporting great programs like our junior football team, our Teens in the Park, our seniors programs, and so much more. So thank you. I can't thank you enough. And if you haven't already heard, I'm just going to keep thanking you. So take it. And we have big plans for the future. Our new 5-year strategic plan puts parks right on the right path into 2025 so that we can be stronger and we can make sure that we bring an even brighter, stronger future for all of you and your families. So I want to say thank you to Guidehouse and its partners who supported us to ensure that we were garnering a very robust community input process. And also thank you for being strong thought partners as we, for months, we've been at this. And in 2025, the district will lead with a refreshed mission, vision, values, and goals. Our mission, which will outline our purpose, is to give people of all ages, identities, and abilities access to wellness opportunities, quality recreation, and sustainable green space in every neighborhood. And our vision, which outlines what we hope to achieve, is to build a healthier city through an inclusive park district that connects communities with recreation and their fellow Chicagoans. And our values, which are become our guiding principles, are that we will be strong community anchors. That's what community has asked us to do. To foster belonging, to promote innovation and be a district of the future, and to be thoughtful stewards, and to build health and wellness for all of you. And our goals are to provide exceptional experiences and to support community well-being that ensures that parks are for everyone. We also will be promoting a greener city, and we will engage in effective operations because we will be a leading employer. So what you've heard, what we heard through this process and what led to this is actually confirmed by the many voices that come to our monthly board meetings, and my board would agree with this, that this is what people want. And so as we start, as we were going through this process and we were confirming what we had already been hearing, is that we are not waiting for 2025. We started to work on these initiatives and some of these projects already. So going into 20, 25, we are conducting a program assessment of our parks because we heard from all of you that you want us to be better aligned with community and your community needs, and that you want us to be more relevant. So we are doing that. And our goal is to launch program pilots in 2025 that can help us improve service delivery and ensure that we're meeting your needs. And we're already working towards our goal of supporting community well-being. According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, there is a life expectancy gap of 11 years among Chicago's Black and non-Black residents across Chicago's 77 communities. This gap is among the largest in the country, and it is unacceptable. We believe that parks must be part of the solution to health disparities. And so this summer, we established our health and wellness pillars. Our new pillars will drive our efforts, and we will work to provide provide equitable access and resources to give Chicagoans a better opportunity to live healthier lifestyles. These pillars include promoting community well-being, supporting active living through parks, and ensuring a healthy food environment. And we are joining forces with partners like Lurie Children's Hospital and the Chicago Department of Public Health to have parks become health hubs. And our goal is to elevate park resources to support health and well-being in every community. And we're on our way to starting that process. And when it comes to resiliency and sustainability, as stewards of parks, we believe that the park district is the great equalizer. And we are looking more critically at the benefits of green space and building more sustainable and resilient park spaces and places. And in fact, you in this room will be the first to preview our upcoming Parks Sustainability Report. And I want to thank my team because I pushed them on doing this first. Before we move forward, we must know what we do and we must assess it. And so making Chicago a greener city, you can access it by scanning the code that is in the handouts on your table. And this report will demonstrate our strength in the following areas: improving energy efficiency, conserving water, and reducing waste and environmental hazards. It also highlights the environmental justice work that we are doing, developing old industrial sites and restoring ecological integrity. And we are addressing climate change by reducing gas emissions, by growing our natural areas, and doing a lot more. And I'm looking forward to our census, of our tree census, so I want to thank our partners who are working with us on that. Did you know that we are in the process of converting our outdoor lighting to energy-efficient LED bulbs? At La Villita Park is one example. At La Villita Park, we recently retrofitted nearly 100 floodlights in the soccer field and in the football fields. That energy reduction is the equivalent of taking 26 cars off the road. This is just one of the many examples. In communities that are facing greatest disparities, we want to work on finding solutions and coming up with things that are going to have immediate impact for those facing these many issues. And we have to start and we have to go strong because we know climate change is here. So this report really is our first step. And in 2025, we will work to develop the Park Sustainability Plan. And we are looking to partner with all of you on this. So roll your sleeves up just like I just did. I'm almost done, and thank you for your patience. And so as I come to a close, I know that you've heard a lot today, and we are doing a lot to support every community, and I just want to tell you, we are a strong, efficient, and lean organization. And in the past 3 years, we have presented a balanced budget. All three major rating agencies have revised their outlook upwards, from negative to stable or positive. And in April, we received a credit rating upgrade. and we have contributed to our pensions above and beyond the required amounts. Yes. I want you to know we do, because I've said it all, so if you don't, if you walk away with anything, we do a lot. And we do a lot with very little. And it's about you, everything we do, it's about you and your families, just like it was for mine. You know, as a kid, when my family arrived into this country from Mexico, my superhero at the time was Nadia Comaneci. She was the Simone Biles gymnast of my childhood. And when I joined tumbling at Smith Park and got to live out my dream of being a gymnast until somebody reminded me that I was just a tumbler. Thank God they killed my dream when I was this age. But living out my dream as a kid, being like my superhero, really made me feel great and made me feel like I belonged and like I had arrived. And some would say that I'm still in the sport of gymnastics in my job of public service. But all jokes aside, like many families, parks were my family's refuge and sanctuary. My mother had to stretch every dollar to provide shelter, food, and food for six kids. And just like many families struggling today, having a park system that offers program at a low cost, or simply having a safe place for kids and families to recreate, is critical to what we do. Our families and our kids deserve that and more. And as an administrator, I am also reminded of the seniors who are building friendships and partnerships at pickleball and during bingo and during dance, and the importance of these programs in our lives. We will be there playing pickleball and bingo, and maybe we're already doing that. And so it's so important to our mental health and to our physical health that we live strong lives. And I am reminded of the commitment to strengthen our community foundation, building more green and healthier, stronger parks for you and your families. As taxpayers and as park users, I hope I have impressed upon you that parks are essential and that we are doing our best to run an efficient operation. And in fact, less than 5 cents of every property tax dollar is contributed to parks. And like many families, we can't stretch our cents and our dollars to run an even more efficient and fiscally responsible agency. But as I said all along, we do not do this alone. And we leverage every cent by all the investments and your generosity from all of our partners and donors and grants that come to the park so that because all of you believe in what we do. And so we are committed to making our future vision work even stronger. So as we look forward to the park system with you in mind, I just want you to know is that parks are for all and parks come at a great value. And our mission will be to continue the legacy of being strong anchors and that we continue to connect us all because we are one community. And this is about you and your families, and it's also about our city. And we need you on our future journey so you too can establish strong, healthy roots in every community. So I'm going to put you to work. Let's establish strong roots because our future generations need it, and we need them to continue in that legacy. The seed packets that are at your table will help us grow our green footprint together. So let's plant a seed. Let's grow our garden for a better Chicago. I want to thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that incredible presentation. Appreciated your thoughts on pickleball. You'd think if it was going to be so popular, they could have come up with a better name. But I do have a couple of pre-submitted questions that you've answered a couple of them. Amanda, are we going to take questions? We've got a couple others. I'm going to start with one that I think is really important. This comes from Bill Truesdell from Truesdell Management and Consulting. What is the most important lesson that you have learned as a leader in the role of CEO of the Park District, and I would add as commissioner and all the other roles that you played at City Hall? What is the most important lesson in leadership that you've learned?
That's really hard because, I think the most important lesson is that you're not the most important person in the room. When you work in public service especially, we work for the people. And so it's about listening. And so when I came to the Park District, understanding the, post-pandemic issues and reopening parks and really getting people engaged and motivated, it's about them. So it's not about you. And I think as we learned about the future vision going forward, this is why it was so important for us to have a robust community listening process, because it is the community that needs to tell us what to do. So I would say be quiet, listen, because the answers will come to you. And because the people here have a lot to say, you spend a lot of time just listening, and from that comes, I think, a better way to run your agency and to work with your employees.
Thank you. Thank you for that. This is an interesting question. So this comes from Carlton McGee Jr. What specific plans can you share to help the creation of a healthy food environment?
Well, number one is I think we need to, first of all, I just want to say we have such a strong partnership with our Chicago Public Schools, because kids that are in schools come to the parks, and for many kids that do not get a meal at the parks, I'm sorry, at the schools in the summer, we have a robust food program for the many kids that come through our day camps. So I think one of the things that I want to focus on, at least from the park perspective, and I believe maybe schools is already doing some of this, is we need to help our kids learn how to grow their own food and understand the benefits of, planting food. And that's why gardening and a lot of our partners who are actually doing a lot of vegetable gardens or even just natural gardens, and that's why planting seeds is so important, because it's really about the earth giving us life. And I think we need to connect our kids, especially in the areas where we see disparities and health disparities and high levels of diabetes, is really making sure that our young people, we need to close that that gap in life. So it's important to teach our young people how to do that, and that would be our goal, to actually get into education and teaching kids how to grow food and understanding the value of healthy meals.
Great. Thank you so much for that answer. This is a question from one of the sponsors for today, from Lime Chicago. It says, as bikes and scooters become more of the city's transportation fabric, how will the Park District work with micro-mobility operators to ensure Chicagoans are able to commute and recreate on Park District properties, including the Lakefront Trail?
This is a very important question. So for me, it's very important that we are all active, but it's also we have to look at all modes, public transportation, cycling. I think what we really need to be mindful of is we have a very congested lakefront, and we have to make sure we're balancing the needs of everyone, but we also have to be a little bit like, a traffic light. I don't want to say traffic cop because that's not my role, but more like a little bit like a traffic light. So we need to understand the lakefront is extremely, extremely busy. And yes, it would be great to look at that, but I also think we need to understand who are we catering to? What are the needs of parks? What are the park users telling us? And what I will tell you is that the park users are telling us there are too many vehicles on the road. And so I think I'm happy to work with all mobilities, because I think it's important. It's part of that innovation going forward. And so keeping our mind open to that. But I also think it's going to need a lot of conversation, because if there's anything I've learned in this job, is that people have a lot to say about parks. And I think we need to understand the full scope of the impact. I think I see them everywhere. I think they're on bike lanes, and I don't know how we would do that safely. And I think we can, but I think there's a lot of conversation that is needed.
Okay, and the last question for today, and there's actually three questions in this pile that, that go toward that. Obviously, you mentioned that the Park District has had a balanced budget for the last several years. How do you think that the current situation with the city finances and the hiring freeze will impact the Park District?
Well, you know, I think I indicated to you that we have 3,000 employees year-round, and in the summer, we become 6,000 employees. So I think it's a very, I mean, we're all government, but I think our unique structure lends itself to a completely approach of hiring. And I think at this time, you know, we are going through our budget process, and I do not foresee that as a as something that we are going to be looking at. But I think we have a lot to work with, and it's just our unique structure of how we are structured today.
With that, could we have another round of applause for the superintendent? Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. And thank you all on behalf of the board of directors here today for joining us at City Club today. And we look forward to seeing you again possibly later this week. Thank you all.